are just that far away or that close. I mean, it's a long way to go.
Indeed. Understatement of the year. But Brett Bielema trying to be honest and not too negative, but he's right. I mean, this has got to be a very humbling experience for him. Welcome back in the zone, live from the Little Rock Touchdown Club. Justin Akre, Phil Elson, going to be joined in a moment by get a bonus defensive player today as part of our Getting Defensive segment. But a couple of numbers here that stand out. Arkansas did improve offensively from last year. I'm not trying to sugarcoat this. I'm not trying to say Arkansas is making, you know, huge strides or anything. But
you're actually just pointing out facts. It's not a matter of, you know, coding or dusting or anything.
No, I do not sugarcoat crap. But 137 of offense last year for Arkansas was the worst performance in 10 years at that point since the 31-3 loss to Georgia in the SEC title game. I was at that game. That was not very fun. The game last year between Arkansas and Alabama was not very fun either, but Arkansas did have 119 yards more this year than last year, almost doubled the total offensively, including 165 yards on the ground. You watch, Alabama will not give up 165 yards rushing too many times this year. So Arkansas did allow 352, though, to Alabama on the ground alone. So a lot of issues to work on. The bottom line is Arkansas has got a lot of work to do on both sides of the ball, especially on the defensive side. So that's where we bring in Matt Harris.
Can you hear me?
I can smell your musk.
Defensive with Matt Harris is brought to you by Exceptional Physical Therapy, specializing in sports injury rehabilitation, back pain, and balance retraining. Exceptional PT is breast cancer certified and is one of the only two lymphedema clinics in the state. Exceptional Physical Therapy for an exceptional you. 1102 South Street in Benton or on the web at exceptionalpt.com.
38 seconds. Auburn still has not snapped the ball. Now Burns gets the snap. Cody's going to try to throw deep down the middle of the field. It is intercepted at the 27-yard line. Intercepted by Matt Harris, and the Hogs are going to win this football game.
All right. I love that phrase. The Hogs are going to win this football game. I can't wait to hear that phrase again.
Well, it might be a few more weeks.
It might be a few more weeks.
Or maybe next season.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah, it's a possibility. Not only are we joined by Matt Harris, we get a bonus defensive star here, C.J. McClain, joining us. And I'm going to guess you are equally as frustrated as Matt Harris, who luckily has not pulled out any of that beautiful hair of his, but he's not feeling very good. So, Matt?
You know, I'm just more at a loss for words than I am upset. We were talking about it earlier, and if we played like we did against A&M, I wasn't expecting us to win the BCS. I wasn't expecting us to go to a bowl game. But if we competed and showed that we had a little pride against ourselves, not getting outscored 104-7 the past two games, you know, that's what I was looking for in this. And when you have – I mean, I was looking at a newspaper just a second ago. We had more time of possession than Alabama.
That's the most silly stat. That stat is the most misleading in most cases.
Well, you know, for a team like Bielema and a team like Alabama, that's kind of – They don't hang their hat on it, but it's important for them. But it just was real, not degrading, but deflating, I would say, that I just couldn't figure out why we're so unsuccessful when you can put up, you know, 150 rushing yards against Alabama, which is hard to do, and still come out with no points. I mean, I don't know. I think the gods of football are just striking us down right now. And we did play the number one team in the country that are probably going to get that third national championship this year in a row. So, I mean, you do have to take that into effect. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, South Carolina gets beat by Tennessee this week, the same team that put us 52-7. I mean, we can compete as well as Tennessee. We should. If we have the talent in the backfield like we do, we should be able to at least put some points on the board, and our defense is just...
But Tennessee has talent elsewhere. You know, that's my thing, is you look at the talent on the defensive side of the ball, and they did it. You saw last year, I mean, even though they were not winning much, they did have guys that allowed them to be competitive. They're kind of they look
Patterson.
Last year like we're looking this year, where they look like they could stay in a couple of games, but they weren't very good. I don't know. CJ, anything you took away from this weekend? I mean, nobody was shocked by the outcome, right?
No,
I mean, nobody was
no.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe they got beat.
It still hurts. And I think that's what it comes down to. If we're looking to consider ourselves a football powerhouse, we have to take history into it as well. And this is a part of our history. So every now and then you got to take your licks to really appreciate where you come from. I don't think that's if there is any benefit, it's that these players who have not struggled much Mm-hmm. The juniors and seniors come under Petrino. Yeah. They're learning now that it's real tough in the SEC every day.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that'll be something they take further in the life and the younger players can learn from.
Yeah.
Well.
Tennessee has 8 defensive starters back off a 5-win team last year. There so, again, go. They're not devoid of talent. Arkansas right. may have starters back, but, again, outside of the defensive line, you don't have a lot of guys that are proven and upper echelon players or even middle echelon players in the SEC.
But if our talent's in the defensive line, why are we letting up 350 rushing yards? Yeah. I know it's against Alabama, but, I mean, make it 250 or 200.
Let me ask you guys this. This is something I was talking to somebody about yesterday. Why is Alabama so dominant? I mean, they just
players.
They only put 11 dudes on the field just like everybody else does. How can they be so good?
Their second team 11 dudes could be starting for the University of Arkansas right now.
In many places.
In many, I mean, throughout the SEC, unless it's LSU or the Georgias, Floridas, they could start right now.
But what makes their guy better than our guy?
You know, it's a mentality. There's a lot of guys throughout the Southeast, throughout the Big 12, throughout the country that run 4.3s. I guarantee it. There's guys everywhere that can bench press 225 30 times. They're on the streets. They're in, Coach Nutt used to say it all the time. Hey, there's talent in prisons. There's talent in the streets. It's a mentality. Alabama's just got a mentality. Plus, they are bigger, faster, stronger, and I'm
and
better
the fundamentals
looking.
Of it all. Me and my buddy Mac Thompson, we were talking just a second ago about the uniforms. Alabama's players don't look overly athletic,
mm-mm.
but they are.
They're huge.
Yeah, and somehow you don't see that stand out when you look at the film. You don't see players that are the fastest or the strongest you may
they're
have ever
flashy.
Seen, but they really are underneath those uniforms.
They are.
They're as fast and as strong as any that you're going to see.
You're right.
Nation.
You see that Oregon, you know, nowadays people hang their hat on recruiting and the big flashy silver helmets, and Alabama has not changed since they've won their 15th national championship almost. And it doesn't take athletics like the Nike swoosh, getting it bigger or more flashy doesn't make you faster
at all.
And that's kind of what Saban and Alabama preaches. And
I understand the philosophy that it helps recruiting because young kids like to see flashy stuff.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you got players on campus. We have games on schedule that have nothing to do with recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be able to play fundamentals and play strong SEC football every down. That's kind of where we're suffering at. Where special teams didn't look good,
mm-hmm.
offense didn't look good. We're not getting a lot of pressure, incredibly high levels of pressure from the four down linemen. I mean, we may switch in some blitzes, but those four guys should be able to get pressure at times. And like you said, even though we're running the ball, that's kind of that's a weird statistic because mm-hmm. we were getting blown out. And Nick Saban, God bless his heart. Probably allowed us to do certain things.
There has to be a great level of satisfaction if you're Nick Saban that you beat this team with this new, you know, highly touted coaching staff by the exact same score you beat them last year.
Yeah, you know, and Saban's mentality is you don't play down to the other team's level. If you're supposed to beat a team 52-0, you beat them 53-0.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he was expecting to go out and thump us like that. But I guarantee you his mentality all week was, we're not going to just beat this team. We're going to beat him the way we should. And they did.
Jason says, let him know it's the linebackers that stop the run. I'm sure you guys know that by now. Watch Alabama. The linemen plug the holes and the linebackers make the hit. Let me ask this from your perspective. How are the run fits in the linebacking core? And that has been the one level that people have really been critical of.
Yes. Now, we can't put the onus completely on the linebackers because they're fits that are included in the responsibilities of the line.
Oh, no.
Once
really?
Once they get to their position.
So the defensive lineman is supposed to be on one side and he goes to the other side and the guy shoots the gap. It's not the linebacker's fault?
Nope, not at
or
all.
Or the safety's fault if he's running full speed 20 yards down the field?
No, I'm saying linebackers too.
When a guy like Eddie Lacy or someone, T.J. Yeldon, gets a full downhill run at your linebackers and safeties, he's there for a reason because he's going to make them miss or he's going to run them over.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
Those D linemen have to hold those gaps as well. Not only take your gap, hold it strong there and not get washed because it makes a wider read for the linebacker, more difficult for the safety to feel. So there's responsibilities from the front to the back.
It starts in the line, though. That's what he's referring to. If the defensive lineman's fits are off, the linebacker's fits are off. The safety fits off the linebacker. It's a trifecta.
And we'll never see that unless we're breaking down film.
Ever. And so it's easy to point and say, oh, the linebackers are terrible. Well, you don't know if that three technique got washed down and widened the hole and didn't get touched, didn't make that running back put his foot in the ground and slow him up.
Yeah.
So you never know whose fault it is because we don't know the defensive calls. Even us sitting up here right now who've played the game and that know a lot about it, you can't really know for sure.
What do you work on this week? And how much do you expect this team to look different next time they play when they take on Auburn in 2 weeks?
A lot of hugs, maybe prayer.
You know,
not for
support
us.
Groups?
I'm talking about
support
for the team. What are you doing on off week? Because you do have a little extra time to prepare and plan for Auburn. I do expect Arkansas to play more like the team we saw prior to South Carolina this week. Maybe I'm crazy because Auburn did look very good this weekend.
No.
But I do expect them to play better.
Bielema's going to be in their stuff. I hope so.
Yeah.
Because, you know, those nice coaches, because I played for Houston Nutt and Bobby Petrino, and sometimes when you lose so badly and you got that coach that just always pats you on the back, when he gets mad, you kind of have a, whoa, you take a step back. You're like, it's time to go because, you know, he's been real nice to us. It's been, I mean, cupcakes compared to what we had in Petrino. And now we're getting our teeth kicked in. Maybe it's time that it's not the coaching staff. It's the players that have to step up.
Yeah.
The coaches can only do so much.
Absolutely.
The players, that goes back to the mentality. They have to adjust their mentality or it's going to be an ugly, ugly season.
That's a good point. It
or
seems
uglier.
We could possibly be waiting on the next guy to step up.
Why
and
wait
that
for the next guy?
That becomes very contagious.
Yeah.
I'm waiting on Alex Collins. I'm waiting on Brandon Allen. I'm waiting on, you know, the defensive line to make a sack. I'm waiting on, and it's each and
everyone's
every
waiting
has,
on somebody else to do something.
They're focusing on someone else's job instead of their own job.
Yes,
that's one of the things that I remember. The interview you had with Eli Gold last week, I thought was very telling about the Alabama system. You asked Justin, you know, what makes Alabama's players so much better than our players? Maybe that system has worked for so long, that brand is so powerful for Alabama that they just believe in the job that they have to do and have blinders on as far as anybody else.
That's what we were talking about in the studio the other day, is setting the atmosphere. That's one thing you have to give Brett Bielema credit for. He is setting a proper atmosphere for success in the future because once it is ingrained, then your freshmen and your sophomores and everyone jumps right in with the same philosophies, and it makes it a lot easier to be consistent in the SEC.
I've heard Baz talk about this before, about the frustration from a defense. And, again, they're not performing at the highest level.
Right.
It's a little different from when Baz was on campus, and certainly with you guys have had some good defenses through the years when you played. But there was a suggestion by a caller earlier that maybe there has been some faith lost, not just by the fan base, but maybe by the defensive players and maybe even some of the offensive players in the quarterback play. Do you see any of that? And if so, have you ever been through that before? What's that like? I mean, how does that impact a team? I mean,
yeah, it does. I mean, it doesn't impact you to a personal extent. You're not like smiting the guy in the middle of the game. But I remember Petrino's first year. We were just, I mean, heck, we almost lost to Western Illinois.
I remember
in
that.
The first game.
It was a good Western Illinois team, though.
Yeah, I think both their running backs are in the NFL now.
The
they're pretty tough. But, you know, when an offense goes out there, and it's a little different now, but when Petrino's offense, sometimes they go three and out, and they go out three and out really quickly because it'd be pass, 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 incomplete, no time off the clock, no time off the clock. Maybe they'd run it one time, 30 seconds literally would go off the clock. So that defense, you have to think from a conditioning standpoint, was only on the sideline for a minute, maybe 60 seconds. And now you're going against Alabama? I can tell you why there's 350 rushing yards. It's because those guys get tired.
Yeah.
Alabama's guys are bigger and stronger, and in the fourth quarter, they're more rested. That time of possession, I mean, yeah, you can throw it out the window now because it doesn't matter who's exhausted and who's not. Because our guys, if they're always on the field, well, even if they're not, say it's 50-50. If it takes us 30 seconds to go three and out, and these guys go up and try to beat Alabama, South Carolina, and they got a minute's rest, it's taxing physically and mentally because you're saying, dang, man, can't y'all get a first down? Give me 2 minutes of breath? I mean, it's contagious. I mean, your defensive players start thinking about, man, why can't we get a first down? And then our offense, if we get scored on, they're saying, why can't defense stop anybody?
Well,
I mean,
part of the time possession thing is they did have an 80-yard touchdown run. I mean, there were some quick scores mixed in there as well. So
yeah, so numbers can get skewed. I'm not a big stats guy. The only thing I look at is how
what was the third down
if we win or not.
Go down on that. That's one thing that I do find that is relatively compelling.
That's the money down.
Yeah, 5 of 9.
For them.
For Bama.
They didn't have too many third downs. And then Arkansas was 6 of 15.
See, I guess that's why that time of possession, you know, depending on big plays.
Yeah, they were chunking. They never got the third down.
And, you know, if it's big plays, that's the issue. Instead of third downs, I mean, it, take your pick. I mean, this team is.
There's a good stat Phil has pulled up. Average gain per play. So
what's that?
Arkansas 8.7 4
for Alabama.
3.7?
8.7.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, they were getting more
big play. That's too many big plays. Every coach will tell you.
Yep.
No big plays. Keep the ball in our own hands. I mean, no turnovers and
which
no big plays.
Which we had three, I believe.
If you're going to lose or try to win against a number one, you have to keep the ball.
Ball security.
Have to keep down the big plays.
Yep.
But, can we talk about something that has nothing to do with Arkansas for a little
yes.
bit?
Lovely.
Well, I guess it does, but it's sort of peripheral. The rest of the SEC, a huge shakeup this weekend.
Oh, man.
Matt, you start. Thoughts on some of these games? I mean, there were some crazy games, some crazy plays, a missed call here and there. But
yeah, oh, my gosh, the targeting rules. I was going nuts.
Yeah.
Absolutely nuts. Georgia lost that game because of a targeting call on fourth down. That linebacker, you could film that fourth and five call. I don't know if y'all saw it. It was fourth and five. Vandy was still down, I believe, two possessions. And then Georgia snapped it over their head and fumbled it. I mean, they gave it to them their last two possessions. But before that, Georgia still had momentum. They still had the lead. And they, I mean, there's no telling what would have happened. But at fourth and five, it was one of those plays where the announcers are all saying, this is the game right here. This is the game. Fourth and five, dude comes across the middle, six-yard pass. He caught it, turned, made a move. Linebacker just gave him a kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And that ball popped right out. The dude didn't go to the ground with him. He put his shoulder into him. He didn't hit him in the head. They threw a flag, 15-yard penalty, call it targeting, didn't throw him out of the game. So all the announcers were saying, if you're calling it a targeting,
why do you still lose the yards?
Why do you still use the yards? Why did you
That's
throw
a rule it? That needs to be tweaked. Even yeah,
and
Nick
did you
Saban's
see the first play of the game? The Georgia guy, all he did was kind of just shove the Georgia or the Vandy quarterback and got thrown out of the game.
Well,
thrown out of the game.
The Missouri-Florida game.
Yeah.
The kid got ejected on the first drive.
First
South
drive.
Carolina, I think it was the first or second drive. And they were short already. Their safety had they had to
yeah.
sit a guy, and so their safety was kicked out, and now they had to go to a third-string safety right off the bat. So.
You guys are old-school Arkansas guys. Let me ask you about Missouri. Are you buying into this now? I mean, everybody's been sort of slow to accept them. I mean, they beat Georgia and Florida in back-to-back weeks. Admittedly,
yeah.
it's a beat-up Georgia
beat
team
up.
And not a vintage Florida team, but
beat-up Florida.
They got a backup quarterback in Missouri, and he comes in, and they whooped
yeah.
Florida's butt.
I'm buying in.
Yeah.
I'm buying it.
And, you know, I wasn't discrediting Missouri to the begin with. I knew they were a competitive team. I thought they were just going to be a lower SEC-tier team, like a Vandy or a
That's
you know,
not
recent,
lower tier. That's bottom tier.
Yeah, or an Arkansas now. You know, I didn't think that they'd be going out and winning like they did. But, I mean, you have to take this into account now. Hey, you got that SEC emblem now on your chest. You get these SEC recruits that you probably weren't going to get, and one or two guys can make a difference.
Yeah.
Now, James, or the quarterback there who got
yeah,
injured,
Franklin.
He was already there. So, I mean, they had talent. They were successful in the Big 12. They were always a top 25 school. I'm never going to discredit a team like A&M or Missouri or anyone top 25. Heck, I would like to see Florida State or Clemson. That's when the argument was there, the conference
oh, yeah.
realignment. If they were in the SEC, I wouldn't be knocking them. I just wish that
I wouldn't know, mind having. I don't know if I want.
We're
Florida
as tough
State
as
right
we
now.
Can be, right? Yeah, now. Yeah, yeah, I'm saying. Let's.
But I mean,
let's
if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. That's
yeah,
why I would rather
right,
have
man.
A Clemson, Florida State over a Missouri.
But the thing is, it's already hard enough. That's the thing for me. It's like
that's true.
Isn't
that's
it
already
hard
the best.
Enough? My
yeah,
gosh,
that's
man.
Right.
Besides Alabama,
yeah.
as a conference, we collectively damaged ourselves this weekend. I mean,
yeah.
we took the number 6 team, I think it was, and they lost. And then the
mm-hmm.
number 11 team
mm-hmm.
against the number no one in the top 25, and then they lost. And so
know, this is called conference cannibalization.
Yeah, it is. And
yeah.
so at the end of the year, we pushed ourselves out of other BCS bowl games outside
yeah,
the
right.
national championship.
Well, and watch, if Miami beats Florida State and then somebody comes back and beats Miami in the ACC, it happens to most conferences, but you're right. This year – But the thing is, we were talking about, let me get you guys to think, it's Alabama and everybody
and
else.
Everybody.
They are, and again, we've seen years where LSU is that close to them. Again,
yeah.
we played them twice, and they
yeah.
you know they beat them once, and then they lost them in the championship.
Yeah.
This year, I don't think that's the case. This is an Alabama team that is totally complete in every phase of the game. When you go coaching, offense, defense, special
yeah.
teams, every single position, they're excellent.
And isn't it funny? They win 3 years in a row, I'm guessing they're going to, and every year they got to replace somebody. They're like, oh, I don't know. Alabama doesn't look as good. They lost 4 All-Americans. Well, they got 5 more
yeah.
on the bench. That's what I was saying. What makes them better is they've got a mentality system where their backups are better than
the one good thing about next year is you are replacing a senior starter at quarterback, and there will be some drop off. I mean,
yeah.
there you got to get that guy in a position
yeah.
where he hasn't seen
who was before McCarron,
McElroy.
Yeah, he
yeah.
won one, didn't he?
Yeah.
We kind
yeah,
of already
I mean,
forgot him.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Okay,
was,
bad point. You know what?
it
forget it.
It was
my
Mark
bad.
Ingram. It was Mark Ingram.
Well, if they're not going to get a bad coach.
Trent Richardson, Eddie Lacy, TJ Yeldon. I mean, these
well, we've
guys
seen bad
just,
coaching can get them in trouble.
And who's this new guy?
TJ Yeldon. Drake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, so I had to bring that up.
Yeah.
They just keep coming.
But, yeah, the SEC, you're right. The BCS, we got ourselves hurt a little bit in the BCS, but national championship, I mean, I don't think Oregon or Florida State can touch Alabama.
Hey, the good news is for Arkansas, you only have to be in the top four going forward. Right now, you got to be in the top two.
Yeah.
You only got to get in the top four going forward, so there's that.
Yeah, next
you can lose to Alabama, you win the rest of your games.
Yeah.
You're still in the top four, probably. And
it's going to be three out of four SEC, if, you know, traditionally speaking, if the past 8 years, not after this weekend, it would have looked like the top five teams, three of the five, usually are in the SEC.
Yeah, there are years where there are BCS games that should involve an SEC school, but it doesn't because of the rules.
That's true.
This year you may get Mizzou into a BCS game, aside from Bama.
They get some work
to do. They keep going.
Yeah. Okay, real quick, who's number two?
Florida State.
I got to stay with Oregon.
Okay.
Both teams are undefeated, of course. I'm not going to take one win and catapult them over a team that has proven to be one of the best in the nation.
All right.
I'd like to see a Florida State-Oregon matchup more than I would Oregon-Alabama, I think. I've seen Auburn-Alabama, and I know what happens. I'd like to see a Florida State-Oregon.
CJ, Kev says, I love Drake. I don't think he means the same one. I like the university in Des Moines, too, but I certainly didn't care for the back the other day. It was not good. CJ, good seeing you again. Matt, hang with us, and we'll take a time out. We're going to talk to our featured guest here at the Little Rock Touchdown Club in just a moment.
Lux.
It is 11:27. Stay tuned. Without a word.